So this morning we continue our series of Moses and following God into the unknown. And we find ourselves in chapters 13 and 14 of Exodus. A really brief summary of what has happened up to this point. The Israelite people have just been freed from over 400 years of slavery in Egypt. There was this intensive showdown between Moses, the God-appointed leader of the Exodus, and the Egyptian Pharaoh. And God has intervened. Pharaoh has relented, and the whole enslaved nation of Israel, thousands and thousands of them, have walked their way out of Egypt. And now, as we find ourselves in chapters 13 and 14, we're getting our first glimpse of free life for the Israelite people and of how God interacts with them. Firstly, in chapter 13, we read about three calls that are given to the Israelite people. The first is a call to consecrate. Consecration means to set something apart as special and as a gift to God. And specifically in this case, it is to give to God the firstborn male of all humans and animals, to consecrate them, to bring them to God as special and important to him. The second is a call to commemorate, to remember and to celebrate the significance of the Exodus event that has taken place. The Israelites are not unfamiliar with this type of call. As Sally shared with us a couple of weeks ago, it's a continuation of something God started with them in Egypt when he called them to commemorate the night of Passover, that time when God spared their firstborn sons while the firstborn sons of Egypt were killed. And God gives them really clear guidance about how these times of commemoration and celebration are to be carried out. And these calls to commemorate and to celebrate are significant because they evoke memory of God's actions. They focus the sharing of God's faithfulness into the following generations. Verse 8 says, "On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." Verse 14, "In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" And so these first two calls, to consecrate and to commemorate, are about the freed people of Israel embedding into their culture significant behaviours that they will carry into the third call. And that is the call to continue in following God. They've already crossed over the threshold of Egypt, and now they must cross over the Red Sea and into the next part of their journey with him. And we're going to pause and listen to part of that being read to us by Sammy.
The reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 5 to 21. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and we have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them, as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians, marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you have brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again." The Lord will fight for you, and you only need to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land, and the waters were divided.
So as we read about the Israelites' journey into the unknown, what do we discover? Well, we discover a couple of things about God. We discover that he works with the bigger picture. The calls of God to consecrate and to commemorate had a big picture purpose. They placed the honouring of God and the memory of his actions into the core of Israelite culture for generations to come. You see, the freeing of the Israelite people wasn't just about that one moment when God enabled them to step out of their oppression, although of course it was important, but it was just the beginning. Their liberation was the start of a new journey. It was a new journey in which God would fulfil promises to them and where they would be led to fulfil their purpose. The Israelite people were being called to trust God, to relate to him as the one who had saved and loved and purposed and called them for something much bigger. A bigger picture that God saw and was enabling them to understand, to communicate, and to move forward into. We also discover that God is faithful and he is steadfast, that he is totally unwavering in his commitment to these people. He shows this physically. He provides them with a visible sign of his presence at every step. There's a pillar of cloud during the day. There is fire at night. And he also guards them with an angel presence. He works in spite of their weakness. And of course, he delivers them once again from the hand of the chasing Egyptians. So that's what we discover about God. But what do we discover about the Israelites? Well, essentially, we discover that they have a very short memory. Although they've just been freed by God, just a short time before, the Israelites did not acknowledge the saving power and presence of God with them on the next part of their journey. We read that they cry out to God, and we're told also that in their terror, they project their fear onto Moses. They vent their anger at him rather than continuing to trust in God's bigger plan, to seek his way forward, to trust his presence with them. And Moses has to refocus the people in verse 13 and says, Don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. God had already done this for them as they had left Egypt. And they've been given these patterns of consecration and commemoration to help them remember God's goodness for many generations. And yet, faced with this first new challenge, this free generation already seem to have forgotten his faithfulness. So as we apply these insights into our own lives, we could consider them in two ways. We could consider them in the light of our very own significant shifts into the unknown. And I'm sure right now some of you are facing real Red Sea moments. Big decisions that need to be made. Big changes imminent. Big obstacles to somehow navigate. I mean, this entire year has been a journey into the unknown for all of us, hasn't it? But let's face it, to one degree or another, every day is an unknown that we have to navigate. And so what we glean from this passage is actually so very relevant to our everyday. And I'm going to pause now while we listen to a chat that has been recorded between myself and a few ladies from my Connect group. Since the first COVID lockdown, we have met together twice a week over the past 12 months. And we found this time, for different reasons, difficult, painful, stressful and disappointing. And we've been very honest with one another about that and with God about how we have felt. But in our recent discussion, I asked them what they'd learned and discovered as we have followed God through this year of unknowns.
Hi ladies, so thank you for being willing to answer a question for me and to give us some input this morning. What I would like to know from you is what you think you have discovered about God through the challenges of this last year.
Yeah, for me, the last year has been a massive journey in my faith, and it's deepened to a different level. And I think what I really was blessed with was obviously being part of this group, and actually where I found that God blesses us with friendships for a reason, and that we're all gifted in very different ways and we have different personalities, and it's that sense of accountability is really actually a good thing, because we were able to share honestly, I was able to share honestly, and others were, and it's sharing, you know, all the parts, the good, the hard, the challenging, everything that you can share, and the presence of the Holy Spirit able to kind of give people insight into those problems and pray over things with you. And it's like we could kind of lift someone up, all the rest of us could lift someone up if there was a particularly hard time. And then it happened, maybe the next week it would be someone else going through another challenge. And we were able to be very honest and very real. Mm. And we studied John. And so we got to see Jesus in a much more close-up way. And I think I saw Jesus much more personally than I had before, really in how he cares for us in our humanity, in our daily lives, in all the problems and the things we face. And I think, yeah, those sense of you're never on your own, because actually Jesus meets you at that place.
So I think one of the biggest challenges for me during lockdown has been about that isolation from relationship, really. And I think I say unexpected, I'm not really sure what I expected from this Connects group, but I think what's been really unexpected has been not only how I feel that I've got to connect with each one of you in a really different and unique way, but also through our study of John, which we did kind of towards the beginning of lockdown, just my level of relationship with Jesus, with the person and the humanity of Jesus, through studying the book of John with you in this way, I think has been life transformational, actually. And I was thinking a bit about what I wanted to sort of share, and I think that one of the sort of strongest or clearest messages for me has been about seeing who Jesus is through relationship with each one of you. So as we've all shared, as we've read the Bible together, as we've had these real profound moments of sort of revelation, personal revelation, shared revelation, as we've prayed for one another, as we've worked through and wrestled through some really difficult personal stuff, it's been like Jesus has been with us the whole way. And I feel like I have seen aspects of his nature and character that I don't think I would have done in any other context.
When we were studying, as Hannah said, the Book of John, we came up with this phrase that we used quite a lot to kind of describe some of the experiences of the disciples, which was the gravel and the glory, and kind of meaning the gravel being the everyday, difficult, nitty-gritty stuff, and the glory just being this amazing presence of God. And we see a lot in the Book of John, the two clashing together in a really unexpected way. And I think when I think about this pandemic, for me, that's like the gravel. It's like the nitty gritty, painful stuff you'd rather not have to deal with. And I think in my head, I'd always known the glory of God. But I think through this group, I think the two have massively collided. I think we are seeing the glory of God in our everyday and finding it in the everyday. We've had this experience of God coming into our everyday and being with us, as Hannah said, with each other as well. But also, I think for a lot of us working in schools and our different workplaces, I think that we've also taken that peace and that light into other places as well. And I think that that's impacted other people. I think God has been so kind to us. And that father heart and that kindness has been something that's really stood out, that willingness to step into the glory and the gravel, sorry, from the glory, you know, to really stoop down and like really, you know, in the Book of John, we see like him putting his hands in the mud or writing in the sand or kneeling in the dirt or even being, you know, crucified. It's really tangible, physical, dirty moments, like it's to do with like the dirt, and we still see God in that. And I think even in the pandemic, which has been a really rough and, you know, unhappy time for so many of us, God being in that has been amazing and very kind, I think. So that's what I would say.
I think what we have discovered through this year is that just as he did for the Israelites, God sees both our everyday needs and our bigger picture. And he leads the way through it all. But there are significant differences to our journey. Unlike the Israelites, who had that physical cloud or pillar of fire with them to indicate God's presence and God's guidance, and who had this intermediary, Moses, to communicate on their behalf, we now live under the saving power of Jesus Christ and with the presence of his Holy Spirit, not just with us, but within us. As the ladies reflected on in our discussion, Jesus is the key to our journey. Jesus, who stepped down from the glory of heaven and met us in the dirt and the gravel of our humanity. God acted and intervened for the liberation of the Israelites, and God has acted for us. God sent Jesus to enable our freedom, not from physical slavery, but from slavery to sin, its oppression, its influence, its consequences. In fact, let's return to those three C's from earlier to see what he has done. Consecrated, Jesus presented himself as a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. So we're no longer required to carry out the types of sacrifice and consecration rituals that the Israelites did. Instead, as Christians, we can bring ourselves, consecrate ourselves directly to God as his dearly loved people. And we are seen by him as holy and acceptable because of Jesus' sacrifice. Listen to these words from Colossians 1:22. He has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. In the New Living it says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Commemorate. Jesus' action on our behalf has given us something new and wonderful to commemorate. And so we take communion to remember, and we get baptized to share with others this incredible truth that Jesus died and he rose again for us so we can live a free life. Crossing over. The Bible tells us that when we commit ourselves to Jesus, we cross over from death into life. The Israelites stepped out of Egypt and into a life free from slavery. In committing our life to Jesus, we receive salvation that enables us to step into a new life with him. In Jesus, God has fought for us and given us our freedom. It requires nothing from us. We don't have to be better or work harder to get God to love us or accept us or liberate us. Jesus has enabled it, and we need only be still and receive it through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an awesome truth, and it might be one you've never considered before. Or maybe you have considered it, but you've never responded. Right now, this morning, you can take that step. You can commit your life to Jesus and you can receive his gift of freedom. And Alice is going to pray for us now. And if you would like to do that, you can repeat the words that she prays and join us in giving your life to the Lord.
I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross and take the punishment for my sins. I accept his offer of new life. Please forgive me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. Father, thank you for a fresh start for those who prayed this prayer with me today. Prepare them for all the new and wonderful things you have for their lives. Help them to keep their eyes fixed on you during their journey to eternal life. Cover them with your love, protection, and mercy. Thank you, Father, for your love and forgiveness. Amen.
So once we have stepped into our new journey with Jesus, what can we expect as we continue with him? Do you remember that earlier we considered how the freeing of the Israelite people wasn't just about one moment of liberation, but a journey towards the fulfillment of so much more? It's the same for us. God has freed us in Jesus to become part of his big picture plan. And we now have a purpose and a journey to make in that freedom. As they stood between the Red Sea and the army of the Egyptians, God continued to open a way for the Israelites. When the journey became challenging, they didn't have to find their own solution or take matters into their own hands. However, being still didn't mean that they were passive. The way was opened by God, but they still had to walk in it. There was a point where they had to get moving, as we hear in verse 15. We looked earlier at Colossians 1:22, and the next verse, verse 23, says, "Continue in your faith, established and firm. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel." That's the New Living Translation. In the NIV, it says, "Continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news." As God's people, we need to be active, holding on to the truth and hope of our freedom. But how do we continue established and firm? Well, I believe we can do this in two ways: by responding with him and responding to him. Firstly, let's consider what it would mean to to respond with God. And to expand on this, we're going to hear again a little more from the ladies in my Connect group. And we're discussing a prayer course that we recently took together, which is based on Pete Gregg's book, God on Mute.
I think this book is, or the study, sorry, is so keen for there to be complete honesty in prayer, that it just, this kind of intimacy with God flows from that place of honesty and vulnerability. And I think there's a couple of lines that really stood out to me when he was talking about, because Pete Gregg is the author of the book, and his wife lives with a chronic illness, and he talks a lot about kind of how his prayers have not been answered by God. And he says, like, one night he was, like, sat there. His wife had just had, like, a really bad seizure, and he looks up, and on his, like, mantelpiece there's a picture of Jesus on the cross. And he's praying to God, and he's saying, like, how could you, you don't know what this feels like. Like, how can you put me through this? Like, why is this happening? It's not fair. And he hears God say, like, looking at the picture, like, that's how I felt, like, when I saw Jesus die. And I think then he talks about how when we are in a crisis, we often pray for God to, like, lift us out of the crisis. But instead, actually, it's Jesus parachuting into our crisis. And I think that sense of God with us ties into what we've said already, but I think that's the thing I'll take out most of it, kind of combined with what I said already, but this idea of God with us, and the more honest we are, the more we can allow God to be with us. You know, we don't need to put up a front, like, and give that to God and say, like, yeah, you can use the best side of me. Actually, use the broken parts of me and use the not nice parts of me, and it's through those broken bits that God will probably do the greatest miracles, you know, not our Sunday best. It's from, and we've kind of said that, haven't we? It's through all our vulnerability and sharing with each other all of the not nice bits, that we've then seen God move, and then that's been super encouraging to see. So I think, yeah, that'll be something I'll take from it.
So in Pete Gregg's book, we were looking at how Jesus was suffering, obviously, in his run-up to the cross, and one of the things that struck a chord with me was the fact that there was a great purpose in Jesus' suffering, and that actually he was aware of the purpose of what that suffering was about. Mm. And Pete Gregg shared how important it is to find purpose in spite of the pain that we're going through or the challenges that we can go through. Mm. And although we perhaps can't change the situation, we can change the relationship that we have with that situation and find purpose mm-hmm. in that. We may not see that purpose straight away, and it's not easy, and that's a huge challenge in itself, but actually, you know, God walks with us in that, and his purpose is for us to have our purpose in him, despite what we are going through, and I found that really helpful.
Mm. Well, I think there was a phrase that Pete used, which was around the silence of God doesn't necessarily mean that he's absent. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of paraphrased, really, but to sort of absence is silence isn't absence. And I think for me that was really quite hugely encouraging. I think in the past there's been a lot of shame connected with my relationship with the Father, and I think that I've often felt that the reason I can't hear him or that I can't feel him is because he's not there, and often that's connected or has been connected with my own walk, you know, in terms of my maturity or where I'm at personally. But actually, that really shifted my thinking about that. And actually, you know, there's that sense, and I think Chloe already shared about him being with us in that process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always mean that we feel him or that we see him move. Mm-hmm. But there's just that sense of, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, that's often is an you know, that it takes an engagement of faith and trust to sort of believe that. But that was something that really, really struck me and has stayed with me. You know, nothing is wasted with the Lord. And sometimes that can be messy, and sometimes that can be in the midst of confusion and chaos and unanswered prayers and disappointment. But actually that's all valid, and that's all important. And so, that, you know, there was a real sense of kind of hope, I suppose, in that as well.
So to respond with God, to daily acknowledge God's presence on our journey and to share the journey with him. Now, the Israelites were justifiably afraid of the position that they found themselves in. And they did cry out to God. But then they got irrational. They started to blame Moses and take out how they felt on him rather than continuing to focus on God and to wait for his response. And let's be honest, for all of us, however long we have known Jesus, there are days when our journey into the unknown leaves us feeling like we're barely clinging on. Knowing Jesus better doesn't automatically take these experiences away. It doesn't make us less aware of the pain or the struggle. Do you know, for much of my life, I think I've misunderstood spiritual maturity as being measured by my ability to be less emotionally engaged or impacted by my circumstances. And then last year, as a group, when we read through John's Gospel, I became aware of how engaged Jesus was with his emotions, and I reflected on how he wrestled with his pain. You know, it's significant for me, I think, that he did wrestle. He did not wrestle alone, however. He shared his pain with his disciples, and he drew strength from pouring it out to his Father. When darkness descends, in our human understanding, it is difficult to remember and to believe that God sees us and that he's for us. But he does, and he is. And my encouragement to you today is to acknowledge the pain of your circumstances and to tell the one who is present with you in it all. Respond by sharing your journey with Jesus and also with trusted others who walk with him. Don't struggle alone. Cry out in lament when it's tough. Draw him into every situation and wait upon him. He knows and he will guide you. So we can respond with God, and secondly, we can respond to God. And again, let's hear from the ladies in my Connect group.
So for me, I think the challenges this year have certainly been isolation away from, certainly from the church community. And I think for me, it's been about when everything has, if you like, stripped away, everything has been taken away, if you like, of sharing your faith with others in that family way, with a church community. It's challenged me to think about, what do I have with the Lord? What is my relationship with God about, therefore? Because actually you can't rely on other people. You can't rely on a Sunday. You can't rely on perhaps the things that we're not knowingly relying on, but are very much part of our faith building experience. So I think for me, it's been about being quiet, it's about being still, it's been about taking those moments with the Lord amidst everything that's been going on. Challenge of work and the workplace, the challenge of, as we've all faced, the unknown and an element of being quite busy within it because of work experiences, and just having that time and realizing that actually my relationship with the Lord has got to be built on my time with him, because actually nothing else is happening at the moment. But I think the main challenge for me, and I think it's a lesson that I've had to learn really, is to reevaluate where I'm at with the Lord and my journey with him. Yeah. And to take those moments to be still and to spend time with him and not to be dependent on other people to deepen that relationship with him. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's between me and the Lord, and you know, that's really important that is strengthened in ways that I can control, even when other things around us are changing. And obviously the Lord has been so faithful as well throughout all of it, and we've seen that I think, as a group together, but also certainly in some of the challenges of this last year for me personally. I've seen God work in lots of different ways. So I think my relationship with the Lord and seeing Jesus at work in my own life has certainly been part of that journey to build me and strengthen my faith.
So I think I had two thoughts about sort of the last year, really. The first one was sort of like a practical one, sort of thinking about time. And my mum has always said that however much money you have, you'll find a way to spend it. You know, you could get more and more, but you'll just find more ways to dispose of it. And I think I've realised from having so much time that really doesn't mean anything, because it's what you do with that time. And I know that's probably not news to most adults, but for me, it's about understanding. You might be like behind on your Bible reading, or you might not get to do those sort of holy things that you think you should be doing, but actually you can do them if you're intentional about it. And I think it's taken to have hours and hours in the day, especially in the very first lockdown when I was only going into work a day, a fortnight or something, and everything else was from home. It didn't really make a lot of difference, because you have to change your mindset and change your thinking. So going forward, and I guess now we are already busier, I will never like not plan what I'm going to do in terms of my sort of time with God and everything else and my prayer time, because I know that it's not about not having enough time. It's about not planning and not being like, Sarah loves the word and is really good at putting it in context, to be intentional. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think I've probably learned I need to do.
So in different ways, Anna and Ali have shared with us how God has challenged them to intentionally invest in their relationship with him so he can sustain and lead them. As we mentioned earlier, in verse 15, God says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." He had heard their cry, he understood their situation, and now it was time for action. It was time to move forward. You know, throughout our journey, not only do we need to communicate honestly with God, we also need to keep in step with his leading, listening and responding to his guidance. Jesus needed close personal intimacy with the Father. He needed to communicate with him as he navigated his life on earth. We see that repeatedly in the Gospels, don't we? And we need it too. We access Father God through our life in Jesus. And the more we actively look to God, gaze at Jesus in ways such as silence or solitude, reading about him in the Word, and living in fellowship with others who can reveal more of Jesus to us, then the better we will know him and understand him. The more our relationship will grow with him, and the more the Holy Spirit will be able to minister to us and through us. You know, it's this relationship that will sustain us on our journey. And as we intentionally position ourselves daily, he will strengthen, he will provide, he will guide, and he will, at the right time, move us forward. When faced with challenge, the Israelites soon looked back. They said to Moses, "What have you done bringing us out of Egypt? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." God had called the Israelites to leave Egypt behind. And yet their first reaction was to see their past slavery as preferable to the challenges they were facing in their freedom. As he did with the disciples, Jesus has and will challenge us to both establish new patterns in our lives as we follow him and to leave things behind. It might be lifestyles, attitudes, behaviours, mindsets, things that we might even find preferable to the challenge that we face in our freedom. But as Jesus calls us on, he does so with compassion and with an open hand to support us as we move forward. Do you remember the words of that beautiful old song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face"? When we do this, what do we see? We see eyes of love that look back at us as we relate to him in the dirt and the gravel of our lives. We see compassion, strength, and a tenderness of gaze towards us. And we see the glory and hope of the bigger picture. He calls us on this journey because he loves us and he is with us. So, in summary, as we have looked at these passages together this morning, we can see that just as for the Israelites, we individually and corporately as a church body can be assured of God's faithfulness with us, his understanding of the bigger picture and his constant presence with us on this unknown journey of life. Through Jesus, he has saved us, he has faithfully loved us, purposed us, and called us for something much bigger than we can see with our own eyes. And however long we have walked this life, there is chance for us to develop a growing relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit that will sustain us and lead us through all the types of unknown that we face. There are patterns to build into our lives and things we must leave behind as we actively cross over into living free and maturing in him. Every day is an unknown, but it is one filled with love, mercy, and an opportunity to intentionally position ourselves in faith and walk with him until the day we get to meet him face to face. So in response this morning, I have two questions for you. How can you respond to your current situation? What does it mean for you to acknowledge that God is with you and within you? And in your next step, how can you respond to God? Is there anything that God is asking you to put in place or to leave behind as you move forward with him? In closing, I would just like to read something that I read recently online. It was written by a lady called Sally McClung. You might want to look her up if you haven't heard of her before, but her and her husband faithfully served God for many years, and just as they started retirement 5 years ago, he became very sick and has remained so. And she also has had a battle over the last few years with her health, and she writes this: "As I move forward into a new year on our journey, the Lord has been directing my attention to look forward. I think one of the biggest temptations the enemy brings along is to get us looking backwards, either longingly at good times we have had or in fear of going through hard times. God doesn't want us to be looking over our shoulders. I realise I need a fresh release of courage from the Lord. I have purposed in my heart to move forward, but I know I can't do it in my own strength. I was reading about Peter walking on the water, and Jesus told him to come, and Peter was doing fine. Then he focused on the wind and waves and began to sink. It's a good example of how we need to keep our focus on Jesus. Not on ourselves, not on our circumstances, not on what is happening around us, but only on him. I remind myself of that daily as I face challenges. With my limited strength, if I'm not careful, I can get overwhelmed with those things. I have to continually remind myself to keep looking to Jesus, to ask for fresh help and courage from him. He has been and will be faithful. As we keep our focus on him, our wonderful shepherd will hold our hand and guide us to the pastures he has for us. We may need to travel over some rocky ground. We may have some dark valleys to navigate through. We may have some rivers to get across. But he will be with us. I must keep my eyes on the Lord and keep looking forward to what he has for us, ultimately to spend eternity in his presence. God always leads us forward. Let's pray together. Father God, with our limited strength, if we're not careful, we can get overwhelmed with many things. Today you have reminded us to keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And by your Holy Spirit, God, we know that you will sustain and guide and lead us in every situation. Thank you for being our wonderful shepherd. Thank you that you always lead us forward. And today I pray that for each and every person listening to your word, that they will know that you see them today and that you are with them. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.